Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More big technology companies are requiring their employees to come back to the office. With the COVID-19 pandemic winding down, Epic Systems in Verona began requiring workers to spend almost all of their time at the company's campus since early last year. An Epic executive tells the State Journal the company monitored hybrid work trends and decided in-person work suits the company better. A recent survey of 4,500 companies find that 75% of tech companies are still either fully remote or let employees choose when to be in the office, but that is changing. Vice President Kamala Harris is talking up a new agreement with Nokia in Wisconsin to make specialized electronics for broadband. She was in Pleasant Prairie yesterday.
Bidenomics is working. It's working. Since we took office, we have created more than 13 million jobs. That's more jobs created in 2.5 years than any administration has created in 4.
The Biden administration is working to blanket the country with higher speed internet. Communities around Wisconsin are getting hundreds of millions of dollars to fight the opioid epidemic. Luke Mathers has more.
Wisconsin got $700 million to settle a multi-state lawsuit against drug companies for their role in creating the nationwide opioid epidemic. Attorney General Josh Call says 70% of that money is going to local police and health departments. They'll use it for prevention, treatment, and enforcement. Tim Carahan is superintendent of the Wisconsin State Patrol.
Without the intervention of officers, the opioid crisis would be even more destructive. Law enforcement access to naloxone or Narcan means an overdose call has the potential to become an opportunity for recovery.
30% of the settlement money goes to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services for outreach programs. Luke Mathers, Civic Media News.
Back to school time is coming up soon, and that can be stressful for kids on the autism spectrum. Aaron Skaggs of Easter Seals says parents can take some steps ahead of time to make a difference.
They always recommend to start with your school, contact the counselor or social worker about setting up a one-on-one school tour. It really can help alleviate some of those questions kids have and parents about where their child will be going on that first day. And then certainly, of course, going to any other welcome events the school may have.
Skaggs also says letting kids with autism choose their own school supplies and clothes gives them a feeling of control. The Wisconsin State Fair is only admitting kids under 18 with a parent after 5 in the evening. Fair officials say it's to make sure that groups of unsupervised teenagers don't cause trouble. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Eau Claire Fire and Rescue is searching for a missing swimmer. A 26-year-old man, Justin View, was in the Chippewa River near Putnam Park with a group of people tubing when he left the group to snorkel yesterday, and no one in the group has heard from him since. Authorities aren't sure that he is missing in the water, but they plan on searching for him today if nobody hears from him. There's very little change from last week to this week in the National Drought Monitor released on Thursday. The lower Wisconsin River Valley and parts of far northwestern Wisconsin are still in extreme drought, with precipitation up to 10 inches below normal over the last 3 months in some places. About 82% of the state is in some stage of drought. About 1/8 of the state is in extreme drought. That's slightly higher than last week. And after a hot and humid week in the Chippewa Valley, rain showers coming through the area should cool temperatures off going into next week, as high will reach only into the 80s to start the work week next week. From the Civic Media News Desk in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
A blowout win for the Brewers. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers put on a show for a nationwide audience last night on Fox Sports, especially the young guys like Sal Frelick and second baseman Bryce Terang.
Swings and launches one deep to right field. Long gone for the rookie, his fifth. A 3-run blast, 8-1 Brewers.
The Brewers went on to beat the Pirates 14-1 at AmFam Field. Christian Yelich went 3-for-4 with 2 runs batted in. The Cubs beat the Reds 5-3, and that gave Milwaukee a half-game lead in the NL Central. The Cubs are now just 2.5 games behind. Game 2 of the series with the Brewers and Pirates is tonight. On Sunday, Brandon Woodruff expected to get his first start after being out since April 7th with a shoulder injury. Last night in the NFL, the stadium lights went out for 15 minutes just before the start of the fourth quarter at the Hall of Fame game in Canton. The Browns came back to beat the Jets last night, a final score of 21-16. Jets quarterback Zach Wilson hit former Packers receiver Malik Taylor on a 57-yard bomb that set up a field goal in the first half. In Green Bay, the Packers practiced in pads for over 2 hours in 91-degree heat. For the first time in camp, the offense finally won the competition period. After practice, Matt LaFleur went live on the NFL Network and was asked how Jordan Love is doing.
You know, I see a lot of growth, and I see it every day, and our guys are competing hard. Today was a really good practice for us in terms of just battling through some heat, battling through some adversity. We had a full tackle to the ground period right there, which is something that we haven't done in the past. So I like the mentality of this team, and guys are, they're not just punching the clock. They're being intentional about their work, and I think they're getting better every day.
And Wisconsin native and former Badger J.J. Watt was on the Dan Patrick Show.
How close were you to play in for the Packers?
It's a story for another day, but it would have been awesome. That's all I'll say.
That's JJ Watt with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Yeah, welcome into the Stu Daniels Show on a Friday morning. It's the fourth day of August, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. And outside today, going to be another nice, warm, sunny summer day. Looking for highs today in the mid to upper 90s. In La Crosse today, mostly sunny with a high around 88. Eau Claire, mostly sunny, high around 87. In Hayward, mostly sunny, high around 83. Richland Center, mostly sunny, high around 89. And in Amory today, increasing clouds with a high around 85 degrees. Hey, did you get to see any of that Brewers game last night? Man, they came through with some runs. They started their four-game series against the Pirates with a big win. Brewers, 14, Pirates, 1. And the Reds also, I should say the Reds lost to the Cubs last night. So the Brewers are now in first place in the National League Central. They are a half a game ahead of the Reds. And game two of that four-game series against the Pirates is tonight in Pittsburgh. So what's going on in the news today, Stu Man? Well, let me tell you. First of all, we do have some breaking news. Nothing crazy, just a jobs report for the month of July released this morning. As always, on the first Friday of the month, July jobs report, the pace of U.S. hiring has slowed down, but it remains solid. As you know, the Federal Reserve has been trying to slow down the economy for, what, over a year now, and it looks like that is what's happening. Looks like things are working out just as they planned. The labor market moderated in July, adding 187,000 jobs, reflecting efforts by the Federal Reserve to cool the economy. Now, that's the headline in the New York Times. And the story, updated just 21 minutes ago, says the U.S. economy continued to produce sturdy employment growth in July, but showed definite signs of cooling alongside the Federal Reserve's battle to suppress inflation. American employers added 187,000 jobs last month, the Labor Department reported today. a figure that exceeded the flow of people entering the labor market. The unemployment rate sank back to 3.5%. That is near a record low. The report shows that most people who want to work can find jobs, keeping upward pressure on wages. But with a revision of the June increase, it was the second straight month of gains below 200,000. That's a figure that had previously been exceeded every month since January of 2021. And I think you would expect that as we move out of a pandemic, right? Obviously, during the pandemic, many people were not working. Continuing with this piece in the New York Times, it says average hourly earnings rose 4.4% from a year earlier. That is slightly more than expected and still faster growth than monetary policymakers would like, with layoffs remaining low and the number of total hours worked sinking slightly for the third month in a row. It appears that corporate leaders are avoiding cutting payrolls even as business slows. And here's a quote. It says, for those who still believe that there may be a soft spot ahead, it's going to be manageable, said Dana Peterson, chief economist at the conference board. It's going to be short. It's going to be shallow. So they're not going to shed a bunch of workers. End quote. Economic growth has remained vigorous, and it has become clearer that the prospect of an outright recession is remote, if not beyond the horizon entirely. And this is where I always like to interject and say, what's up with that? Because as we know, the economists, especially many of the conservative economists, have been saying ever since the day that Joe Biden was elected that there was a big recession coming. But obviously, that did not materialize because of some manipulations by the Federal Reserve of the interest rate. And it seems like they threaded the needle just perfectly, almost, you know, with these high employment numbers, low unemployment numbers, and the fact that the recession really never materialized. So back to this piece in the New York Times, it says, each sign of weakness so far has seemed to find a counterbalance. Escalating interest rates deflated the tech industry, but laid off workers quickly found jobs in other sectors. Residential construction then slowed, along with home sales. Although there are signs of new momentum, business investment has been fading as borrowing has gotten more expensive, but consumer spending has picked up the slack, even if much of it is going on credit cards. Kermit Baker, the chief economist at the American Institute of Architects, says that while the group's billings index, measuring new contracts for design firms, has been wobbly for the better part of a year, he thinks the worst is over. Quote, I'm guessing when we look back on this period in a year from now, we'll say that this was a series of rolling recessions, Dr. Baker said. There will be parts of the country that say that was a pretty rocky time. There will be other parts that say recession? What recession? Through it all, employment has not just exceeded its 2019 level before the pandemic, but it has even approached the trajectory it might have been on had the pandemic not intervened. Helping it along is a labor force that defied predictions of permanent shrinkage. A larger share of women in their prime working years are in the labor force than before the pandemic. And a renewed flow of immigrants has eased some of the most acute shortages. Labor strife has threatened to cloud the employment picture this summer. The walkout by 160,000 members of the Hollywood Actors Union did not start early enough in July to affect the Bureau of Labor Statistics survey. But because striking workers are not counted as employed, the dispute could depress job data going forward. There are other risks, including the resumption of student loan payments for tens of millions of borrowers in September, the debt overhang from still vacant commercial office buildings, and the rising tide of defaults on risky loans. That's why most forecasters still expect very low to negative job growth toward the end of 2023,
which may finally bring inflation back to the 2% rate that the Federal Reserve is looking for. So that's the breaking news on the economy, the jobs numbers for the month of July. And it could be a lot worse, right? We're still adding almost 200,000 jobs per month. Unemployment rate just about as low as it's ever been at 3.5%. So most people looking for a job can find one. And in fact, most people who've switched jobs in the past couple of years are making, I think in the most recent information I saw, about 40% more compared to their previous job. So we've got 8:15 right now. Let me give you a little bit more on the Kamala Harris story from yesterday before we go to our break. Got a call yesterday from a listener who was all worked up because Kamala Harris was in Wisconsin yesterday instead of being down at the border where she could be shooing away immigrants. Yeah, I don't know if having the vice president at the border would do anything to slow the immigration or the immigrants coming across the border, the migrants, refugees. But she was in Wisconsin yesterday getting some work done. This headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says Kamala Harris ushers in 2024 contest with Wisconsin visit focused on Biden's broadband efforts. And this piece was updated 11 hours ago, it says, with a dateline of Pleasant Prairie. Vice President Kamala Harris on Thursday made multiple stops in Wisconsin to tout Biden administration broadband efforts just weeks before Republican presidential candidates descend on Milwaukee for the first major event of the 2024 election cycle. The Wisconsin visit was the first for Harris in a campaign season that is once again expected to thrust the battleground state into the national spotlight. Milwaukee is ground zero for Republican efforts to topple Democratic incumbent President Joe Biden, with the city currently gearing up for the first nationally televised debate between leading Republican candidates on August 23rd. Her visit also came just days after Donald Trump was accused of organizing a conspiracy to steal the 2020 election in a historic indictment that referenced some of Wisconsin's top Republicans, including 10 who signed on to pose as fake electors in Trump's effort to overturn his loss to Biden. It's unclear whether Trump, the current Republican front runner, will attend the debate in Milwaukee. Got to take a break real quick. It's 17 and a half minutes after 8. If you want to join us on the phones, feel free. 715-388-7155. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit, because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge. By cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me, and I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Well, hell yeah, I was there, man. I was like in the fourth row, I think, for that show, in front of Jerry. Yes. I was with my girlfriend at the time, and my brother was there, but he wasn't sitting with us. He was up in the stands just a little bit to the right of us. Yep, it was a great show, man. And that's cool that they released that recording of it.
Honey, you are my shining star. Don't you go away. Oh, baby, I wanna be right here where you are till my dying day. Oh, tried to find a love like yours and mine. Oh, baby, don't you realize how you hypnotize and make me love you more each time. Oh, baby, honey, I'm never
we're getting somewhere. Yeah, let that play under me for a minute here, Aaron. It sounds so nice. I hate to interrupt it. Jerry Garcia Band doing Shining Star on a Friday morning. 24 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock, that piece actually recorded in Milwaukee. And what was that date, Aaron? Like 1991, November something of 91?
Yes, it is November 23rd of 91.
Oh, yeah, now I remember. It was like the day after Thanksgiving, I think, of that year. But, yeah, recorded in Milwaukee at the old Bradley Center back when that place was new. And, of course, I was there. And, Aaron, you weren't there, were you?
I was not born yet.
That's what I thought. But you missed a good show, man. I'm sure if you would have been in Milwaukee at the time, you would have been there. But Jerry Garcia Band on a Friday morning. And speaking of Milwaukee, and by the way, I've got some updated temperatures here. 70 degrees right now in La Crosse, 69 degrees in Amory. And just before the break, we were discussing the fact that Kamala Harris was in Milwaukee yesterday. She wasn't at a Jerry Garcia show, but she was talking about the broadband efforts of the administration, or the efforts by the administration to bring broadband to rural areas, especially across the country. And when she was in Milwaukee yesterday, Kamala Harris did not mention Donald Trump, but she did critique what she called the bully culture that exists coming out of some people during remarks at a campaign fundraising event outside the old North Point Lighthouse in Milwaukee on the lakefront. She said, "We've got work to do in terms of being that role model that we have been for the world and what it means to be a democracy," Harris said. "When you're a role model, people watch what you do to see if it matches what you say," end quote. She kicked off her day alongside U.S. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo and Senator Tammy Baldwin at Sanmina Corporation's electronics manufacturing plant near Kenosha, where Swedish telecommunications company Nokia plans to manufacture new broadband network electronics products beginning next year, 2024. The manufacturing initiative will add up to 200 jobs and expand the Sanmira facility. Nokia is the first company to manufacture broadband electronic products in the United States, something Harris said is a direct result of the Biden administration's economic plan. Quote, "When President Biden and I took office, we decided to invest in the working people of America to create millions of jobs, to rebuild American manufacturing, to repair our roads and bridges, to expand clean energy production, to replace every lead pipe in our nation, to connect every home to high-speed internet, and to make sure that every person, no matter where they start, has access to opportunity and the tools that they need to thrive. All that is called Bidenomics," Aaron said. "And Bidenomics is working," she added. Yeah, I would agree. Got to take a break. Everybody stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Special Report. We've just gotten a new snapshot of the labor market. U.S. employers added 187,000 positions last month. That is down from 209,000 in June. The unemployment rate went from 3.6% to to 3.5%. And that is about what the Fed wanted, CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
The Federal Reserve is rooting for a slowdown in the job situation. When the job market is hot, employers bid up for workers, and those workers in turn take their higher wages and spend those freely in the economy. All of this can contribute to inflation.
Most of the jobs added in July were in healthcare, social assistance, financial activities, and wholesale trade. Again, the unemployment rate's gone from 3.6% to 3.5% in July. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Eau Claire Fire and Rescue is searching for a missing swimmer. A 26-year-old man, Justin View, was in the Chippewa River near Putnam Park with a group of people tubing when he left the group to snorkel yesterday, and no one in the group has heard from him since. Authorities aren't sure that he is missing in the water, but they plan on searching for him today if nobody hears from him. There's very little change from last week to this week in the National Drought Monitor released on Thursday. The lower Wisconsin River Valley and parts of far northwestern Wisconsin are still in extreme drought, with precipitation up to 10 inches below normal over the last 3 months in some places. About 82% of the state is in some stage of drought. About one-eighth of the state is in extreme drought. That's slightly higher than last week. And after a hot and humid week in the Chippewa Valley, rain showers coming through the area should cool temperatures off going into next week, as high will reach only into the 80s to start the work week next week. From the Civic Media News Desk in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit, because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge, by cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me, and I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big name entertainment.
Friday morning, 8:35. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Derek and the Dominoes with Eric Clapton and Dwayne Allman. And by the way, Aaron, my producer, on the way out of this segment, let's play the end of that song so people can get a flavor of Dwayne Allman on slide guitar, man, which, and well, you can actually hear him right there. A lot of people think that's all Eric Clapton, you know, because obviously Eric Clapton, great guitar player and all that. But he was blown away by Dwayne Allman, you know. When he first heard Dwayne Allman play, he said he wanted to do something with that guy. So they put together Derek and the Dominoes. And from what I understand, Clapton kind of already had that band together a little bit and then brought in Dwayne Allman. And he put that slide guitar on that song and others from that album. And it was just great stuff, great music from over 50 years ago. Man, will we ever see music like that again? I don't know. Seems like a lot of people these days aren't about being a musician as much as they are about just putting out some kind of beats. And it's just not the same, is it? It's just not the same. Do you have any opinion on that, Aaron, or are you just shaking your head yes and agreeing with me?
It's definitely different. It's hard to say because you have some people pushing boundaries in different ways, but I think we're not going to have the same degree of like legendary guitarists of people like Eric Clapton and Dwayne Allman and Jerry Garcia, for that matter.
Yeah, cutting edge at the time, still sounding great 50 years later. Thank you to the listeners for letting me indulge in this kind of stuff. 8:37 right now. I've got some updated temperatures. It's 71 degrees in Eau Claire and 67 degrees right now up in Hayward. And let's get to the important news that we've been discussing all week long. You may have seen yesterday that President Donald Trump made his way back to Washington yesterday, but it wasn't the victorious return that he had been hoping for. And I usually don't go to U.S. News and World Report because oftentimes the reporting you see there is a little bit slanted, not a whole lot, but they definitely lean toward the right, and that's okay because it's usually pretty good reporting. But there's a definite, a little bit of a slant there. But this time I'm going to go to U.S. News and World Report because I think they covered it pretty well. This piece by Susan Milligan posted this morning, and the headline is Trump's Bleak Return to Washington. The subheadline says, instead of strutting victoriously back to the White House, his loss expunged and his power reinstated, Trump sat in a federal courtroom accused of betraying his country. Donald Trump and his supporters have been dreaming of the former president's return to Washington. This is not what they had imagined. Instead of strutting gleefully and victoriously back to the White House, his 2020 loss to President Joe Biden expunged and his power reinstated, Trump sat in a District of Columbia courtroom accused of crimes that could put him in a far less opulent government housing if he is convicted. He wasn't Mr. President or Sir, as Trump describes people calling him. Instead, Magistrate Judge Moxilla A. Upadhyaya called him Mr. Trump. No one stood for the former commander-in-chief. Instead, Trump stood for his arraignment, as defendants typically do. He didn't hold court, as he often does at his rallies and in speeches. Instead, he spoke little, saying yes when the judge asked him whether he understood his rights after being charged with crimes connected to the January 6th insurrection on the Capitol. Several police officers who defended the Capitol that day watched from an overflow room at the federal courthouse, facing his third set of criminal indictments and his first for behavior while he was president, Trump was given a very undignified directive by the judge. Don't commit a crime or try to sway a juror. And when he left the courthouse, Trump couldn't help but take a shot at the city that greeted him Thursday, not as president, but as another criminal defendant. Here's what he had to say. It was also very sad driving through Washington, D.C. and seeing the filth and the decay and all of the broken buildings and walls and the graffiti. Trump told reporters at the airport as he left for home, "This is not the place that I left. It's a very sad thing to see it when you look at what's happening." End quote. The White House, meanwhile, continued in an almost studied and somewhat boring normality. Biden was on vacation in Delaware. He went on a bike ride and remained mum on the historic indictment of his likely general election opponent. Vice President Kamala Harris traveled to Wisconsin to talk about Bidenomics and increase access to broadband technology. Without a hint of irony, Biden released a statement of the grave challenge to democracy in Niger, where the democratically elected head of state is under house arrest subsequent to an apparent coup. As Trump grappled with his own fate and uncertain future freedom, so did America. The arraignment, delighting Trump critics who have been waiting impatiently for the former president to be held accountable by the criminal justice system, and horrifying Trump acolytes who see him as a victim of that very vaunted system, punctuated the critical moment in the country's democracy. A nation that has long lectured other countries about free and fair elections and the rule of law hosted a display that tests whether the United States upholds those values at home. Quote, "The American experience is having one of its greatest tests," says Adrian Fontes, the Arizona Secretary of State who himself defeated an election denier for the post in 2022 and has fought discredited arguments that the 2020 election in Arizona was fraudulent. And here's a quote. "This is the ultimate test for democracy. Does the rule of law apply equally to all in this country, including a former head of state? Or are there to be separate systems of justice?" adds Fontes, a Democrat, underscoring that equal justice also means Trump's legal rights are protected during the entire process. The very holding of the proceedings were held up as proof that no American, even Trump, arraigned Thursday like any accused common criminal, is above the law. But they also showed that the process, even if it ends in a conviction, may not stop Trump or dissuade his devoted supporters. The former president and his attorneys, notably, have not directly challenged the basic facts of the cases against him. Instead, they have said Trump had every right to do what he did, either because he was fighting for what he thought was rightfully his, or because he was acting on the advice of his lawyers. That distinguishes this moment from those in other countries which have experienced coups or government overthrows, says Arshan Fung, director of the Ash Center for Democratic Governance and Innovation at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Quote, "Everyone sees that for what it is," Fung says, "of undemocratic actions in other countries. Here, Americans are just really, really divided on the facts of what happened in 2020 and suspicious of what will happen in 2024, Fung adds, pointing to polls showing that majorities of Republicans believe the 2020 election was stolen from Donald Trump. Michael Gerhardt, a constitutional law professor at the University of North Carolina School of Law in Chapel Hill, notes that the Watergate hearings were going on during this week, a half century ago. Quote, "Nixon resigned from office the following year," Gerhardt notes. "Nobody was above the law. And Nixon had to be held accountable for his misconduct. 50 years later, it looks like we're not in the same place. Half the public seems to think Trump can do no wrong." End quote. While the nation waits and watches at home, awaiting what is certain to be a painful exercise of criminal justice. The rest of the world is also looking to see how the United States will come out of it all. Quote, "We look like bozos to the rest of the world," says Brookings Institution scholar Darrell West, author of the book Divided Politics, Divided Nation, Hyper-Conflict in the Trump Era. He went on and said, "It could be a great success story if the rule of law guides the decision here and there is accountability, but there could also be a terrible decision where Trump could win the election and people around the world ask, what the heck has happened to American democracy?" Europeans are already wary of developments in the United States, not only because of the Trump drama, but inequality, gun violence, and other issues on which Europe has criticized America, says Jeff Hawkins, a veteran former American diplomat who is now a Paris-based commentator and researcher. But the prosecution of Trump on charges related to America's very democratic system of government is especially jarring. Quote, "The transatlantic alliance is based on our shared democratic values. When our democracy trembles, Europe shakes too." End of quote. I'm going to leave it right there for now. If you have an opinion on anything we are discussing today, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. You are tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Tap.
I'm meteorologist Megan Hatton. Plenty of sunshine to close out this last day of the work week. Another hot day with highs nearing 90 this afternoon. Tonight, the cloud cover will begin to thicken up, lows near 66. By Saturday, we'll see extra clouds, a few spotty showers and thunderstorms, high 85.
It's 71 right now.
Yeah.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
And guitar from the Altered Five Blues Band, a band from Milwaukee, actually. And if you listen to any streaming blues shows, places where blues music is played regularly, you may have heard that song. Pretty big hit for those guys, and congratulations to them for that. 852 and a half right now. Richland Center, 71 degrees right now. La Crosse has 78 degrees already. And let's talk a little entertainment news during this last few minutes of this hour. If you were listening a few days ago, you may have heard me mention that Taylor Swift handed out checks of $100,000. These are $100,000 bonuses to the guys and maybe some women, too, who drive trucks for her. You know, she's been on this tour all summer long and, in fact, just announced a few more dates yesterday, I believe. But she handed out checks of $100,000 to more than 50 truck drivers, amounting to, $55 million. So there must have been like 55 of them or something. But this headline from E! News says, Taylor Swift's longtime truck driver reacts to a life-changing $100,000 bonus. Now imagine if you are a truck driver, you know, you're hauling equipment for famous people, famous singers like Taylor Swift. And I'm sure it's a difficult job, probably long hours on the road away from your family. And you may make $100,000 a year after working a whole year. You may not make that much, or you might make a little more depending on how much overtime you put in. But when you hand somebody a check for $100,000, it's going to change their life. So this is a reaction from a guy who works for Taylor Swift as a truck driver, getting that check. And the sub-headline on this piece says, after Taylor Swift reportedly gave $55 million in bonuses to people working on her Eras tour, a truck driver who has worked with the anti-hero singer hauling equipment for several of her tours reacts to this. This is it was posted last night at enews.com. And it starts out by saying, talk about catching a break. And in this case, break is spelled B-R-A-K-E. So obviously it's a little pun. But anyway, it says Taylor Swift recently gave a reported $55 million in bonuses to people working on her Eras tour, including $100,000 to truck drivers hauling equipment from city to city. And as Mike Schirkenbach, who runs the concert transportation company Show Motion, and who has worked on three of Swift's stadium tours, recently noted, the gesture is nothing short of enchanting. Quote, she's giving a sum of money that is life-changing for these people, Schirkenbach told Rolling Stone in an article published August 3rd. A lot of these drivers are not homeowners, and a lump sum like this gives you the ability to put a down payment on a home. That's what makes me really happy. That generosity is a game changer for these people. Show Motion and another company, Upstaging Inc., are both in charge of transporting Swift's equipment, including parts of the stage, lights, guitars, microphones, and speakers, according to USA Today. Schirkenbach further praised the generosity of the pop star, noting that the bonus is not only unprecedented, but 10 times the normal amount. Quote, there are a lot of very wealthy people who choose not to share a dime of it, he explained. We work with all kinds of wealthy people, but this is not the norm. While Swift herself did not present the bonus checks to the drivers, Schirkenbach revealed to Today that a person very close to her did, her dad, Scott. And that was not the only thing she gifted them. Quote, he presented handwritten letters from Taylor, he added. It's incredible that they would take that time and what it means to our staff to be recognized, end quote. Swift began her Eras tour in March. According to trade publication Pollstar, the entire tour has so far generated an estimated $300 million in gross revenue. On August 3rd, Swift announced new North American concert dates for next year. Quote, turns out it's not the end of an era, read a message posted on her Instagram. Miami, New Orleans, Indian Toronto, the Eras tour is coming to you in 2024. So, looks like she's going to be on the road for a while longer, and I think the tour is wrapping up in Los Angeles this week for now, but then she's heading overseas, I think, to play Europe and Asia, and then it sounds like she'll be coming back for more shows in the U.S. next year. But what a nice gesture, huh? Handing out $55 million worth of bonuses. Tour took in $300 million so far. It's a pretty hefty percentage. Let's take a break. Got the top of the hour news coming up. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Dragging me down. Oh, no, I got nothing, bro. Dollars and demons. Dragging me down. Girl, I got the devil on my shoulder, leading me around. Oh, devil on my shoulder, leading me around.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Alice. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz. Flowers,